把抗击冠状病毒的指导方针延长至4月30日，称迄今为止所做的是拯救生命。特朗普周日说，你做得越好，整个噩梦结束的速度就越快。特朗普将每日的冠状病毒简报从白宫新闻办公室转移到外面的玫瑰花园。他说，我希望我们的生活能重新开始。政府建议的最初两周的疫情缓解指导方针定于周一到期。特朗普预测美国的死亡率将在两周内达到峰值，并表示美国将在6月1日前会在复苏的路上走得很好。特朗普曾表示，他希望美国在4月12日复活节恢复经济活动。他说，他不希望治愈经济关闭的方法比疾病更糟糕。特朗普最近的民意支持率创下了他总统任期内的历史新高，49%。部分原因在于他处理疫情的方式，但他说他不希望这样受欢迎，他宁愿被归功于一个强大的经济。特朗普周五签署了2万亿美元的经济刺激方案，以帮助美国人和企业度过疫情难关。这项法案的核心内容是向大多数美国家庭直接支付现金。他说，大多数人会在几周内开始收到支票。美国政府最高传染病专家安东尼·福奇博士星期天预测，10万或更多美国人可能死于冠状病毒大流行，是目前死亡人数的50倍。福奇在接受有线电视新闻网 CNN 的采访时说，美国可能有数以百万计的新冠病例，这是该流行病在美国的广泛传播。目前官方统计，美国确诊病例12.4万例，死亡2100人，尽管这个数字每天都在迅速增加。负责特朗普总统关于冠状病毒特别工作组的副总统彭斯在另一次采访中对福克斯新闻表示，虽然确诊的新冠病毒病例呈急剧上升趋势，他说，在美国接受病毒检测的数十万人中，只有10%的人检测呈阳性，这应该让美国人感到鼓舞。但民主党控制的众议院议长佩洛西警告说，随着死亡人数的不断上升，未来的日子将是可怕的。他在 CNN 上说，我们必须防止更多的人死亡，而不是恢复工作。我们必须进行测试、测试、测试。英国副医疗官哈瑞斯29日在首相官邸的例行记者会上表示，英国的新冠疫情死亡病例在未来1至2周内会持续上升，并指出封锁令将会持续，虽然不至于封城半年，不过民众的生活可能需要这么长的时间来恢复正常。哈瑞斯还指出，首波的居家限制令实施3周后将进行检讨，民众还是需要保持警惕，不然将前功尽弃，还会迎来第二波大爆发。英国政府传染病学顾问、伦敦帝国学院教授弗格森也表示，为了遏制疫情实施的全国限制令，可能得持续好几个月甚至半年，5月底彻底解除是最乐观的预测了。英国首相约翰逊一周前下令所有国民留在家中，他说，在此国家危机关头，全国实施3周的居家防疫，以减缓新冠病毒的传播。新冠疫情已经重创英国政府，不仅多位国会议员、防疫专家受到感染，连首相约翰逊及正副卫生大臣都确诊。截至发稿为止，英国的新冠病毒感染人数达到19784例，死亡1231例。世界卫生组织29日发表声明指出，台湾加入世卫组织的问题取决于世卫组织会员国，而不是世卫组织的工作人员。然而，世卫组织正在与面对当前新冠病毒大流行的所有卫生当局密切合作，包括台湾的卫生专家。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课的题目是住店登记第四部分，着重讲怎样澄清问题。今天接受采访的人是世杰饭店的接待员 Marsha Waters 女士。
Last week, we talked with Charles Blake about a business trip he took to the United States last year. As you recall, Mr. Blake works for International Robotics, a Chinese company. Mr. Blake went to San Francisco to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies. While Mr. Blake was in San Francisco, he stayed at the Embassy Suites Hotel. Last week, we heard a recording of Mr. Blake's conversation with the receptionists at the Embassy Suites Hotel. Today, we will talk with the Embassy Suites receptionist, Ms. Marsha Waters.Welcome to Functioning in Business, Ms. Waters.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Please call me Marsha.
Okay, Marsha. Tell me, Marsha, have you worked at the Embassy Suites for a long time?
I've been there about 5 years.
And you work at the reception desk, isn't that right?
Yes. I register the new guests, and I help guests who have questions or problems.
Oh, what kinds of problems?
Well, for example, sometimes people need help operating the TV. If they're having trouble...I send someone to their room to help them. Or sometimes people want to change rooms. We had one person who was in a non-smoking room and wanted to change to a smoking room. We couldn't give him a smoking room because there were none available. Then we found out that the person was smoking in the hallway, and that's not allowed.
So what happened?
We had to explain that he could only smoke in designated areas. Then, the next day, we were able to move him to a different room.
Marsha, can you tell our listeners what kinds of services you offer at the Embassy Suites?
Well, one important service we offer is a business center. Our business guests can go to the business center to type letters or send faxes. We also have an internet connection so that they can read their email.
How convenient! What other services do you offer?
We have a great fitness center with a sauna and a jacuzzi.
That sounds like fun.
We also have room service, of course.Many of our business guests like to eat in their rooms so that they can have more time to prepare for meetings.
They work while they eat dinner?
Yes, some people do. I guess they find it easier than going out to a restaurant.
Thank you very much for joining us, Ms. Waters.
It's my pleasure.
We'll be back after a short break.
文化点滴。
Welcome back, everyone. We're here once again with Gary Engleton, our expert on business and culture.
Hello, everyone. How are you today, Elizabeth?
Very well, thank you, Gary. I'm glad that you're here because we have a very important email question on hotel charges.
Really? What is it?
One of our listeners writes, Sometimes my hotel bill is larger than I expected. In the United States, what extra charges are there in hotels?
That's an excellent question.When you are staying in a hotel, it's a good idea to ask a lot of questions about what is free and what has an extra charge. Extra charges are sometimes called surcharges. They are becoming more and more frequent.
How do you find out about these extra charges?
The first thing that you should do is to look around the room for something written down. For example, there is sometimes information near the telephone about charges for local and long-distance calls.If you can't find anything in writing, you should definitely ask at the front desk.
That's a good idea. What other kinds of extra charges are there?
Well, for example, many hotels have drinks and snacks in small refrigerators. These are not free. Make sure you know how much everything costs before you drink or eat anything. And you can have food brought to your room. That's called room service. It is usually fairly expensive.Look for a menu in the room that lists the prices.
Are there any other surcharges to be careful of?
Well, some hotels offer movies in your room for an extra charge. And remember, tax will usually be added to the room charge. In some U.S. cities, this tax can be 15% or even more. Well, I think that I've covered most of the extra charges. Other facilities like swimming pools, exercise equipment, and even daily newspapers are usually free.
Thanks, Gary. That was extremely helpful.
Good evening. May I help you?
Yes, my name is Allison Peters. I have a reservation.
Let me take a look. Yes, I see you have a room reserved through April 4th.
Actually, I'll be leaving on the morning of the 5th.
Oh, really? I thought you told us you would be checking out on the 4th.
No, I believe I said I would be checking out on the 5th. Let me check my confirmation notice. Here it is. Oh, my goodness, you're right. Can I extend my stay through the 5th?
That's not a problem. I'll change your reservation for you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Gary 提示。
Welcome back. It's time for Gary's tips. What's your topic for today, Gary?
Today, I'll be talking about clarifications. Last week, we talked about the importance of confirming information, especially information about plane and hotel reservations. It's important to confirm because sometimes a hotel clerk or a travel agent might have incorrect information. If you disagree with what the clerk or agent says, there are some polite ways to correct the person. This is called making a clarification. One way to begin a clarification is to use the word actually. Let's listen again to part of the business dialogue. You'll hear Ms. Peters clarifying that she is staying through April 5th.
Good evening. May I help you?
Yes, my name is Allison Peters. I have a reservation.
Let me take a look. Yes, I see you have a room reserved through April 4th.
Actually, I'll be leaving on the morning of the 5th.
Another polite way to make a clarification is to say, I believe. Let's listen again to the business dialogue. Ms. Peters clarifies that she will be checking out on the 6th.
Yes, I see you have a room reserved through April 4th.
Actually, I'll be leaving on the morning of the 5th.
Oh, really? I thought you told us you would be checking out on the 4th.
No, I believe I said I would be checking out on the 5th.
It turns out Ms. Peters is wrong about the dates of her reservation. But by being polite, Ms. Peters maintains a good relationship with the desk clerk and is able to change her reservation. So remember, it's important to correct people if they have the wrong information about your reservations. But it's best to be polite when you make a clarification. Well, that's all we have time for today on Gary's Tips.
本星期第二课的题目是住店登记第五部分，重点讲解怎样客气地向别人提出要求。首先请听电话采访。
Last week, we heard part of a conversation between Charles Blake and the hotel receptionist at the Embassy Suites Hotel. Today, we'll be hearing the rest of the conversation during Mr. Blake's check-in. I have Mr. Blake on the phone. Hello, Charles.
Hello, Elizabeth.
How are you doing?
Just fine.
Last week, we listened in while you checked in at the Embassy Suites.
That's right.
Tell us again why you were in the San Francisco area.
I was on business. I had plans to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies. I wanted to talk to him about selling industrial robots to his company.
Now, let's hear the second half of your conversation with the hotel receptionist as you check in.
Okay.
That room is $120 a night.
Okay, fine. Can I use my credit card for that?
Yes, certainly, sir. Can I make a print of your card before we check you in?
Sure. There you are.
Okay, thank you. All right, fine. We're all set here, Mr. Blake, and I'll get the bellman right away. We'll get you to your room.
Oh, by the way, there's a chance I'll be staying one more day, so I might be leaving on Saturday. Is that okay?
Let me check. Well, sir, I'm afraid we're all booked up for Friday night, but something may open up. Can I let you know?
Okay. If you could let me know as soon as possible, I would appreciate it.
Yes, we can do that for you, sir. Okay, and here's your key, sir. I'll get the bellman. Bellman, front!
Let's talk a little about the conversation we just heard.
All right.
I see you asked if you could stay an extra night at the hotel.
That's right. Originally, I planned to stay 4 nights and to leave on Friday. When I arrived in San Francisco, I decided to stay an extra day so that I would have more time to meet with Mr. Epstein.
The receptionist said the hotel was booked up on Friday night. Were you worried that you wouldn't be able to get a room?
A little, but she said that something might open up.
Were you able to get a room?
Yes, I was. There were some cancellations at the hotel, and so I was able to stay until Saturday morning.
Thanks for talking with us again, Charles.
It was my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Welcome back to Culture Tips. We're here again with our business language expert, Gary Engleton.
Hello, everyone.
Well, Gary, today we have an email about a very important and complicated subject.
Really?
Yes, here it is. When I stay in hotels in the United States, who should I tip and how much money should I give them?
Those are great questions. Tipping is very complicated. But let me give you some guidelines.
That would be very helpful.
We generally tip people in lower-paying jobs, like waiters. These people are paid by the hour, and they depend on tips for extra money. The people who work at the front desk are salaried workers and are paid more, so we don't tip them. We also don't tip managers.
Oh, and how much money should you give people when you tip them?
First, let's talk about the easy situations. In the hotel restaurant, you should give the waiter or waitress an extra 15 to 20% of your bill. And you should tip taxi drivers about 15% of the fare. If the taxi driver carries your bags, you should give a little more. For most other services, tip $2. For example, you should tip anyone who carries your bags to your room. That person is called the porter or bellman. If a porter carries a lot of luggage for you, tip more than $2.
And what about the maid?
$1 or $2 per day is good. You can leave the tip in your room when you check out.
Thank you, Gary. Your information has been really helpful. First, let's listen to a conversation between Mr. Myers and the bellman.
Oh, excuse me. I wonder if you could help me with my bags.
Sure, I'll be glad to help. Which floor is your room on?
Here's another short conversation between Mr. Myers and the desk clerk.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Could I possibly use your fax machine? I'd like to send a fax to my office.
Yes, of course. The fax machine is right over there, behind the desk.
Now let's listen to the third conversation, again between Mr. Myers and the desk clerk.
Front desk, may I help you?
Hello, this is Mr. Myers in room 212.
What can I do for you, Mr. Myers?
I lost a button, and I need to sew it back on. Do you happen to have a needle and some thread?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do.
If you could send them up to my room, I'd appreciate it.
No problem. I'll have them sent up right away.
Thank you.
Gary 提示
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, everyone. Last week on Gary's Tips, we talked about requests. We're going to talk some more about requests today. We've already said that a polite way to make a request is to use can or could. For example, you might say, could you send a hamburger and an iced tea to room 219, please? Today, we're going to talk about some even more polite ways to make a request. One way is to begin your request with, I wonder if. Let's listen again to the first business dialogue. Listen for Mr. Myers saying, I wonder if.
Oh, excuse me. I wonder if you could help me with my bags.
Sure, I'll be glad to help. Which floor is your room on?
Another polite way to begin a request is to say, could I possibly, or could you possibly? Let's listen to Mr. Myers again, asking to use the fax machine. He starts his request with, could I possibly?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Could I possibly use your fax machine? I'd like to send a fax to my office.
Yes, of course. The fax machine is right over there, behind the desk.
In today's business dialogues, we heard a third way to make a polite request. You can use the expression, I would appreciate it if. You can say, I would appreciate it, either at the beginning or at the end of your request. Let's hear Mr. Myers again as he asks for a needle and thread.
Do you happen to have a needle and some thread?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do.
If you could send them up to my room, I'd appreciate it.
No problem. I'll have them sent up right away.
Thank you.
In today's dialogue, we also heard Mr. Blake use the expression, I'd appreciate it. Let's listen again.
Oh, by the way, there's a chance I'll be staying one more day, so I might be leaving on Saturday. Is that okay?
Let me check. Well, sir, I'm afraid we're all booked up for Friday night, but something may open up. Can I let you know?
Okay. If you could let me know as soon as possible, I would appreciate it.
Today you heard three different ways to make polite requests. In a business situation, it's good to be extra polite when you are asking for a favor. You will want to use these polite ways to make your requests. I hope today's tips were helpful.
In 我们重点学习拒绝别人的请求时应当使用的表达方式。 首先是访谈时间。
Our guest today is Ms. Bailey. Ms. Bailey is a manager at Universal Bank. Welcome to the program, Ms. Bailey.
Thank you very much.
Today, we're going to talk about money and business travel. We'll be talking about changing money and cashing checks. Ms. Bailey, does your bank handle foreign currency?
Oh, yes. People can exchange dollars for all the major foreign currencies at our bank. We also get a lot of foreign business travelers who want to change their money for dollars.
Can they get good exchange rates at your bank?
Well, yes. The rates are quite good, but there is a fee for exchanging currency.
Ms. Bailey, I have a recording of a conversation between a bank teller and a British customer. The customer changes some money and then tries to cash a personal check. The bank teller refuses to cash his check. Shall we listen to the conversation?
Sure, let's listen.
May I help you?
Yes. Can I change British pounds for American dollars here?
Yes, certainly, sir. How much would you like to change?
£100, please.
Just one moment. That comes to $168.45. Here you are, sir.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything else I can help you with?
Yes, please. Could I cash this personal check from my London bank?
I'm afraid that isn't possible. Our policy is that we do not cash out-of-town checks.
It's very important that I cash this check.
Yes, I understand, but it's against bank policy.
Could I see the manager, please?
I'm sorry, but the manager, Mr. Grover, is out right now. The assistant manager, Ms. Grace, is in. Would that be all right?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Certainly. One moment, please.
下面我们继续对银行经理 Bailey女士进行访谈。
Welcome back to Functioning in Business. We're talking with Ms. Bailey, a manager at Universal Bank. As you heard, Ms. Bailey, the bank didn't cash the check for the man.
That's right. It's unusual for a bank to cash an out-of-town check, especially if the check is from a foreign bank.
Do you cash personal checks at your bank?
Yes, we do. But only if the check is from a local bank. We don't cash out-of-town checks.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Ms. Bailey.
It was my pleasure.
文化点滴
Hello again. We're here with Gary Angleton, our business language expert. Welcome back to Culture Tips, Gary.
Thanks. It's wonderful to be back. So, what's our first email question?
Our first question is, do I need a credit card to travel in the United States?
Excellent question. I would say it's very important to have a credit card. First, having a credit card makes travel in the United States much more convenient.
In what way?
Well, for example, it's impossible to rent a car without a credit card. And credit cards are accepted almost everywhere. Finally, if you carry credit cards, you don't have to carry a lot of cash.
Those are all good points.
Just make sure you get a major credit card that is accepted worldwide.
Thanks, Gary. Here's another email question about paying for things. Should I use checks in the United States?
Well, there are two important types of checks, traveler's checks and personal checks. Traveler's checks are very convenient since they are accepted in most places. They are especially helpful if you want to buy something from a small shop that does not accept credit cards.
Oh, I see.
Personal checks, however, are much more difficult to use. Generally, merchants only accept personal checks from local banks. They don't accept out-of-town checks. So when you're traveling, it's better to use credit cards and traveler's checks than personal checks.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello there. Our function of the day is refusals. To refuse means to say that you can't or won't do something that a person asks you to do. In the business dialogue, you heard several examples of refusals. Let's replay parts of the conversation between the customer and the bank clerk. In the first example, the bank teller refuses to cash a personal check by saying, I'm afraid that isn't possible. Let's listen.
Could I cash this personal check from my London bank?
I'm afraid that isn't possible. Our policy is that we do not cash out-of-town checks.
Using the phrase, I'm afraid, is a very common way to begin a refusal. Some other examples are, I'm afraid I can't help you, or I'm afraid he's not here right now. Another way to begin a refusal is to say, I'm sorry, but... Saying that you're sorry that you can't be more helpful is a very polite way to make a refusal. Here's an example from our bank dialogue.
Could I see the manager, please?
I'm sorry, but the manager, Mr. Grover, is out right now.
Usually, after you say you're sorry, you give a reason for your refusal. For example, if someone asks you to go to lunch and you're busy, you can say, I'm sorry, but I have another engagement. If someone wants to speak to your colleague, but he's not there, you can say, I'm sorry, but he's not here right now. Let's listen to one more polite way to make a refusal. In our example from the bank teller says, Yes, I understand, but... Let's listen.
It's very important that I cash this check.
Yes, I understand, but it's against bank policy.
Usually, you say, Yes, I understand, when the other person is giving you reasons for a request and you want to show that you heard what the person said. Let's hear the example one more time.
It's very important that I cash this check.
Yes, I understand, but it's against bank policy.
There are some less polite ways to make a refusal. Let's hear some examples of things you shouldn't say.
Could I cash this personal check from my London bank?
No, that's impossible.
It's very important that I cash this check.
I told you we can't do that.
In this conversation, the bank teller is very rude to the customer. Remember, make your refusals as polite as possible by saying, I'm afraid and I'm sorry. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
美国总统特朗普将社会距离和其他抗击冠状病毒的指导方针延长至4月30日，称迄今为止所做的是拯救生命。特朗普周日说，你做得越好，整个噩梦结束的速度就越快。特朗普将每日的冠状病毒简报从白宫新闻办公室转移到外面的玫瑰花园。他说，我希望我们的生活能重新开始。政府建议的最初两周的疫情缓解指导方针定于周一到期。特朗普预测美国的死亡率将在两周内达到峰值，并表示美国将在6月1日前会在复苏的路上走得很好。特朗普曾表示，他希望美国在4月12日复活节恢复经济活动。他说，他不希望治愈经济关闭的方法比疾病更糟糕。特朗普最近的民意支持率创下了他总统任期内的历史新高，49%。部分原因在于他处理疫情的方式，但他说他不希望这样受欢迎，他宁愿被归功于一个强大的经济。特朗普周五签署了2万亿美元的经济刺激方案，以帮助美国人和企业度过疫情难关。这项法案的核心内容是向大多数美国家庭直接支付现金。他说，大多数人会在几周内开始收到支票。美国政府最高传染病专家安东尼·福奇博士星期天预测，10万或更多美国人可能死于冠状病毒大流行，是目前死亡人数的50倍。福奇在接受有线电视新闻网 CNN 的采访时说，美国可能有数以百万计的新冠病例，这是该流行病在美国的广泛传播。目前官方统计，美国确诊病例12.4万例，死亡2100人，尽管这个数字每天都在迅速增加。负责特朗普总统关于冠状病毒特别工作组的副总统彭斯在另一次采访中对福克斯新闻表示，虽然确诊的新冠病毒病例呈急剧上升趋势，他说，在美国接受病毒检测的数十万人中，只有10%的人检测呈阳性，这应该让美国人感到鼓舞。但民主党控制的众议院议长佩洛西警告说，随着死亡人数的不断上升，未来的日子将是可怕的。他在 CNN 上说，我们必须防止更多的人死亡，而不是恢复工作。我们必须进行测试、测试、测试。英国副医疗官哈瑞斯29日在首相官邸的例行记者会上表示，英国的新冠疫情死亡病例在未来1至2周内会持续上升，并指出封锁令将会持续。虽然不至于封城半年，不过民众的生活可能需要这么长的时间来恢复正常。哈瑞斯还指出，首波的居家限制令实施3周后将进行检讨，民众还是需要保持警惕，不然将前功尽弃，还会迎来第二波大爆发。英国政府传染病学顾问、伦敦帝国学院教授弗格森也表示，为了遏制疫情实施的全国限制令可能得持续好几个月甚至半年，5月底彻底解除是最乐观的预测了。英国首相约翰逊1周前下令所有国民留在家中，他说，在此国家危机关头，全国实施3周的居家防疫以减缓新冠病毒的传播。新冠疫情已经重创英国政府，不仅多位国会议员、防疫专家受到感染，连首相约翰逊及正副卫生大臣都确诊。截至发稿为止，英国的新冠病毒感染人数达到19784例，死亡1231例。世界卫生组织29日发表声明指出，台湾加入世卫组织的问题取决于世卫组织会员国，而不是世卫组织的工作人员。然而，世卫组织正在与面对当前新冠病毒大流行的所有卫生当局密切合作， 包括台湾的卫生专家。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课的题目是住店登记第四部分，着重讲怎样澄清问题。今天接受采访的人是史杰饭店的接待员 Marsha Waters 女士。
Last week, we talked with Charles Blake about a business trip he took to the United States last year. As you recall, Mr. Blake works for International Robotics, a Chinese company. Mr. Blake went to San Francisco to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies. While Mr. Blake was in San Francisco, he stayed at the Embassy Suites Hotel. Last week, we heard a recording of Mr. Blake's conversation with the receptionists at the Embassy Suites Hotel. Today, we will talk with the Embassy Suites receptionist, Ms. Marsha Waters.Welcome to Functioning in Business, Ms. Waters.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Please call me Marsha.
Okay, Marsha. Tell me, Marsha, have you worked at the Embassy Suites for a long time?
I've been there about 5 years.
And you work at the reception desk, isn't that right?
Yes. I register the new guests, and I help guests who have questions or problems.
Oh, what kinds of problems?
Well, for example, sometimes people need help operating the TV. If they're having trouble...I send someone to their room to help them. Or sometimes people want to change rooms. We had one person who was in a non-smoking room and wanted to change to a smoking room. We couldn't give him a smoking room because there were none available. Then we found out that the person was smoking in the hallway, and that's not allowed.
So what happened?
We had to explain that he could only smoke in designated areas. Then, the next day, we were able to move him to a different room.
Marsha, can you tell our listeners what kinds of services you offer at the Embassy Suites?
Well, one important service we offer is a business center. Our business guests can go to the business center to type letters or send faxes. We also have an internet connection so that they can read their email.
How convenient! What other services do you offer?
We have a great fitness center with a sauna and a jacuzzi.
That sounds like fun.
We also have room service, of course.Many of our business guests like to eat in their rooms so that they can have more time to prepare for meetings.
They work while they eat dinner?
Yes, some people do. I guess they find it easier than going out to a restaurant.
Thank you very much for joining us, Ms. Waters.
It's my pleasure.
We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back, everyone. We're here once again with Gary Engleton, our expert on business and culture.
Hello, everyone. How are you today, Elizabeth?
Very well, thank you, Gary. I'm glad that you're here because we have a very important email question on hotel charges.
Really? What is it?
One of our listeners writes, Sometimes my hotel bill is larger than I expected. In the United States, what extra charges are there in hotels?
That's an excellent question.When you are staying in a hotel, it's a good idea to ask a lot of questions about what is free and what has an extra charge. Extra charges are sometimes called surcharges. They are becoming more and more frequent.
How do you find out about these extra charges?
The first thing that you should do is to look around the room for something written down. For example, there is sometimes information near the telephone about charges for local and long-distance calls.If you can't find anything in writing, you should definitely ask at the front desk.
That's a good idea. What other kinds of extra charges are there?
Well, for example, many hotels have drinks and snacks in small refrigerators. These are not free. Make sure you know how much everything costs before you drink or eat anything. And you can have food brought to your room. That's called room service. It is usually fairly expensive.Look for a menu in the room that lists the prices.
Are there any other surcharges to be careful of?
Well, some hotels offer movies in your room for an extra charge. And remember, tax will usually be added to the room charge. In some U.S. cities, this tax can be 15% or even more. Well, I think that I've covered most of the extra charges. Other facilities like swimming pools, exercise equipment, and even daily newspapers are usually free.
Thanks, Gary. That was extremely helpful.
Good evening. May I help you?
Yes, my name is Allison Peters. I have a reservation.
Let me take a look. Yes, I see you have a room reserved through April 4th.
Actually, I'll be leaving on the morning of the 5th.
Oh, really? I thought you told us you would be checking out on the 4th.
No, I believe I said I would be checking out on the 5th. Let me check my confirmation notice. Here it is. Oh, my goodness, you're right. Can I extend my stay through the 5th?
That's not a problem. I'll change your reservation for you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Gary 提示。
Welcome back. It's time for Gary's Tips. What's your topic for today, Gary?
Today, I'll be talking about clarifications. Last week, we talked about the importance of confirming information, especially information about plane and hotel reservations. It's important to confirm because sometimes a hotel clerk or a travel agent might have incorrect information. If you disagree with what the clerk or agent says, there are some polite ways to correct the person. This is called making a clarification. One way to begin a clarification is to use the word actually. Let's listen again to part of the business dialogue. You'll hear Ms. Peters clarifying that she is staying through April 5th.
Good evening. May I help you?
Yes, my name is Allison Peters. I have a reservation.
Let me take a look. Yes, I see you have a room reserved through April 4th.
Actually, I'll be leaving on the morning of the 5th.
Another polite way to make a clarification is to say, I believe. Let's listen again to the business dialogue. Ms. Peters clarifies that she will be checking out on the 6th.
Yes, I see you have a room reserved through April 4th.
Actually, I'll be leaving on the morning of the 5th.
Oh, really? I thought you told us you would be checking out on the 4th.
No, I believe I said I would be checking out on the 5th.
It turns out Ms. Peters is wrong about the dates of her reservation. But by being polite, Ms. Peters maintains a good relationship with the desk clerk and is able to change her reservation. So remember, it's important to correct people if they have the wrong information about your reservations. But it's best to be polite when you make a clarification. Well, that's all we have time for today on Gary's Tips.
本星期第二课的题目是住店登记第五部分，重点讲解怎样客气地向别人提出要求。首先请听电话采访。
Last week, we heard part of a conversation between Charles Blake and the hotel receptionist at the Embassy Suites Hotel. Today, we'll be hearing the rest of the conversation during Mr. Blake's check-in. I have Mr. Blake on the phone. Hello, Charles.
Hello, Elizabeth.
How are you doing?
Just fine.
Last week, we listened in while you checked in at the Embassy Suites.
That's right.
Tell us again why you were in the San Francisco area.
I was on business. I had plans to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies. I wanted to talk to him about selling industrial robots to his company.
Now, let's hear the second half of your conversation with the hotel receptionist as you check in.
Okay.
That room is $120 a night.
Okay, fine. Can I use my credit card for that?
Yes, certainly, sir. Can I make a print of your card before we check you in?
Sure. There you are.
Okay, thank you. All right, fine. We're all set here, Mr. Blake, and I'll get the bellman right away. We'll get you to your room.
Oh, by the way, there's a chance I'll be staying one more day, so I might be leaving on Saturday. Is that okay?
Let me check. Well, sir, I'm afraid we're all booked up for Friday night, but something may open up. Can I let you know?
Okay. If you could let me know as soon as possible, I would appreciate it.
Yes, we can do that for you, sir. Okay, and here's your key, sir. I'll get the bellman. Bellman, front!
Let's talk a little about the conversation we just heard.
All right.
I see you asked if you could stay an extra night at the hotel.
That's right. Originally, I planned to stay 4 nights and to leave on Friday. When I arrived in San Francisco, I decided to stay an extra day so that I would have more time to meet with Mr. Epstein.
The receptionist said the hotel was booked up on Friday night. Were you worried that you wouldn't be able to get a room?
A little, but she said that something might open up.
Were you able to get a room?
Yes, I was. There were some cancellations at the hotel, and so I was able to stay until Saturday morning.
Thanks for talking with us again, Charles.
It was my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Welcome back to Culture Tips. We're here again with our business language expert, Gary Engleton.
Hello, everyone.
Well, Gary, today we have an email about a very important and complicated subject.
Really?
Yes, here it is. When I stay in hotels in the United States, who should I tip and how much money should I give them?
Those are great questions. Tipping is very complicated. But let me give you some guidelines.
That would be very helpful.
We generally tip people in lower-paying jobs, like waiters. These people are paid by the hour, and they depend on tips for extra money. The people who work at the front desk are salaried workers and are paid more, so we don't tip them. We also don't tip managers.
Oh, and how much money should you give people when you tip them?
First, let's talk about the easy situations. In the hotel restaurant, you should give the waiter or waitress an extra 15 to 20% of your bill. And you should tip taxi drivers about 15% of the fare. If the taxi driver carries your bags, you should give a little more. For most other services, tip $2. For example, you should tip anyone who carries your bags to your room. That person is called the porter or bellman. If a porter carries a lot of luggage for you, tip more than $2.
And what about the maid?
$1 or $2 per day is good. You can leave the tip in your room when you check out.
Thank you, Gary. Your information has been really helpful. First, let's listen to a conversation between Mr. Myers and the bellman.
Oh, excuse me. I wonder if you could help me with my bags.
Sure, I'll be glad to help. Which floor is your room on?
Here's another short conversation between Mr. Myers and the desk clerk.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Could I possibly use your fax machine? I'd like to send a fax to my office.
Yes, of course. The fax machine is right over there, behind the desk.
Now let's listen to the third conversation, again between Mr. Myers and the desk clerk.
Front desk, may I help you?
Hello, this is Mr. Myers in room 212.
What can I do for you, Mr. Myers?
I lost a button, and I need to sew it back on. Do you happen to have a needle and some thread?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do.
If you could send them up to my room, I'd appreciate it.
No problem. I'll have them sent up right away.
Thank you.
Gary提示.
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, everyone. Last week on Gary's Tips, we talked about requests. We're going to talk some more about requests today. We've already said that a polite way to make a request is to use can or could. For example, you might say, could you send a hamburger and an iced tea to room 219, please? Today, we're going to talk about some even more polite ways to make a request. One way is to begin your request with, I wonder if. Let's listen again to the first business dialogue. Listen for Mr. Myers saying, I wonder if.
Oh, excuse me.
I wonder if you could help me with my bags.
Sure, I'll be glad to help. Which floor is your room on?
Another polite way to begin a request is to say, could I possibly, or could you possibly? Let's listen to Mr. Myers again, asking to use the fax machine. He starts his request with, could I possibly?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Could I possibly use your fax machine? I'd like to send a fax to my office.
Yes, of course. The fax machine is right over there, behind the desk.
In today's business dialogues, we heard a third way to make a polite request. You can use the expression, I would appreciate it if. You can say, I would appreciate it, either at the beginning or at the end of your request. Let's hear Mr. Myers again as he asks for a needle and thread.
Do you happen to have a needle and some thread?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do.
If you could send them up to my room, I'd appreciate it.
No problem. I'll have them sent up right away.
Thank you.
In today's dialogue, we also heard Mr. Blake use the expression, I'd appreciate it. Let's listen again.
Oh, by the way, there's a chance I'll be staying one more day, so I might be leaving on Saturday. Is that okay?
Let me check. Well, sir, I'm afraid we're all booked up for Friday night, but something may open up. Can I let you know?
Okay. If you could let me know as soon as possible, I would appreciate it.
Today you heard three different ways to make polite requests. In a business situation, it's good to be extra polite when you are asking for a favor. You will want to use these polite ways to make your requests. I hope today's tips were helpful.
Our guest today is Ms. Bailey. Ms. Bailey is a manager at Universal Bank. Welcome to the program, Ms. Bailey.
Thank you very much.
Today, we're going to talk about money and business travel. We'll be talking about changing money and cashing checks. Ms. Bailey, does your bank handle foreign currency?
Oh, yes. People can exchange dollars for all the major foreign currencies at our bank. We also get a lot of foreign business travelers who want to change their money for dollars.
Can they get good exchange rates at your bank?
Well, yes. The rates are quite good, but there is a fee for exchanging currency.
Ms. Bailey, I have a recording of a conversation between a bank teller and a British customer. The customer changes some money and then tries to cash a personal check. The bank teller refuses to cash his check. Shall we listen to the conversation?
Sure, let's listen.
May I help you?
Yes. Can I change British pounds for American dollars here?
Yes, certainly, sir. How much would you like to change?
£100, please.
Just one moment. That comes to $168.45. Here you are, sir.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything else I can help you with?
Yes, please. Could I cash this personal check from my London bank?
I'm afraid that isn't possible. Our policy is that we do not cash out-of-town checks.
It's very important that I cash this check.
Yes, I understand, but it's against bank policy.
Could I see the manager, please?
I'm sorry, but the manager, Mr. Grover, is out right now. The assistant manager, Ms. Grace, is in. Would that be all right?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Certainly. One moment, please.
下面我们继续对银行经理贝里女士进行访谈。
Welcome back to Functioning in Business. We're talking with Ms. Bailey, a manager at Universal Bank. As you heard, Ms. Bailey, the bank didn't cash the check for the man.
That's right. It's unusual for a bank to cash an out-of-town check, especially if the check is from a foreign bank.
Do you cash personal checks at your bank?
Yes, we do. But only if the check is from a local bank. We don't cash out-of-town checks.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Ms. Bailey.
It was my pleasure.
Hello again. We're here with Gary Angleton, our business language expert. Welcome back to Culture Tips, Gary.
Thanks. It's wonderful to be back. So, what's our first email question?
Our first question is, do I need a credit card to travel in the United States?
Excellent question. I would say it's very important to have a credit card. First, having a credit card makes travel in the United States much more convenient.
In what way?
Well, for example, it's impossible to rent a car without a credit card. And credit cards are accepted almost everywhere. Finally, if you carry credit cards, you don't have to carry a lot of cash.
Those are all good points.
Just make sure you get a major credit card that is accepted worldwide.
Thanks, Gary. Here's another email question about paying for things. Should I use checks in the United States?
Well, there are two important types of checks, traveler's checks and personal checks. Traveler's checks are very convenient since they are accepted in most places. They are especially helpful if you want to buy something from a small shop that does not accept credit cards.
Oh, I see.
Personal checks, however, are much more difficult to use. Generally, merchants only accept personal checks from local banks. They don't accept out-of-town checks. So when you're traveling, it's better to use credit cards and traveler's checks than personal checks.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello there. Our function of the day is refusals. To refuse means to say that you can't or won't do something that a person asks you to do. In the business dialogue, you heard several examples of refusals. Let's replay parts of the conversation between the customer and the bank clerk. In the first example, the bank teller refuses to cash a personal check by saying, I'm afraid that isn't possible. Let's listen.
Could I cash this personal check from my London bank?
I'm afraid that isn't possible. Our policy is that we do not cash out-of-town checks.
Using the phrase, I'm afraid, is a very common way to begin a refusal. Some other examples are, I'm afraid I can't help you, or I'm afraid he's not here right now. Another way to begin a refusal is to say, I'm sorry, but... Saying that you're sorry that you can't be more helpful is a very polite way to make a refusal. Here's an example from our bank dialogue.
Could I see the manager, please?
I'm sorry, but the manager, Mr. Grover, is out right now.
Usually, after you say you're sorry, you give a reason for your refusal. For example, if someone asks you to go to lunch and you're busy, you can say, I'm sorry, but I have another engagement. If someone wants to speak to your colleague, but he's not there, you can say, I'm sorry, but he's not here right now. Let's listen to one more polite way to make a refusal. In our example from the bank teller says, Yes, I understand, but... Let's listen.
It's very important that I cash this check.
Yes, I understand, but it's against bank policy.
Usually, you say, Yes, I understand, when the other person is giving you reasons for a request and you want to show that you heard what the person said. Let's hear the example one more time.
It's very important that I cash this check.
Yes, I understand, but it's against bank policy.
There are some less polite ways to make a refusal. Let's hear some examples of things you shouldn't say.
Could I cash this personal check from my London bank?
No, that's impossible.
It's very important that I cash this check.
I told you we can't do that.
In this conversation, the bank teller is very rude to the customer. Remember, make your refusals as polite as possible by saying, I'm afraid and I'm sorry. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。